This is market-to-market producer Colleen Bradford-Krantz. Stand by for the Market Analysis Podcast. Send us any questions or comments to markettomarket@iowapbs.org.
This is the Friday, December 25, 2020 version of the Market Analysis segment for Market to Market. We are producing this program on Wednesday, and the grains were lifted by an extension of the run-up in soybeans in this holiday-shortened week. March wheat gained 22 cents, while the nearby corn contract added a dime. Until further notice, it appears the soy complex is stuck in a loop of South American weather and Chinese buying fundamentals. Nearby soybeans improved 39 cents. January soybean meal went up $15.70 per ton. March cotton shrank 90 cents per hundredweight. Over in the dairy parlor, January Class 3 milk futures increased $1.40. A mixed week in the livestock sector. February cattle lost 7 cents. January feeder shed 12 cents. And the February lean hog contract gained $1.95. In the currency markets, the U.S. dollar index strengthened 36 ticks. February crude oil declined $1.17 per barrel. COMEX gold fell 8.10 per ounce. And the Goldman Sachs commodity index decreased nearly 3 points to finish at 404.15. Here now to provide insight is one of our regular market analysts, Elaine Cubb. Hello, Elaine.
Hello, Paul.
All right. I asked for the weather report. As we record this, the blizzard came through, but none of the snow stuck. It just blew right through, right?
Well, there's some on the ground, and I don't know if you can still hear the wind howling, but we definitely have finally got some winter and some white winter for Christmas.
Well, what we're in need of to the south of you and in the rest of wheat country and the plains there is some rain. That is impacting the domestic crop. Is that pulling this entire trade higher?
Well, I don't know that the wheat's boost this week or the general rally that we've seen in wheat prices is really a weather thing at all. I mean, if you look North America or Northern Hemisphere, Southern Hemisphere, there are no major weather problems that are going to be boosting prices at this time of year. I think instead you're just looking at wheat prices churning higher alongside the higher prices in corn and soybeans and commodities in general, because as you mentioned there at the start of the segment, the U.S. dollar, of course, has typically been moving lower. It bounced this week, but last week it hit a low, as low as it's ever been since 2018 when they ended that last round of quantitative easing.
Well, in this wheat market, there's a thought that being pulled higher by corn and soybeans, but there's also a thought that wheat's just kind of waiting its turn to strike higher. So if you're sitting on pick any of the contracts, Minneapolis, Chicago, Kansas City, whichever one, would you be sitting right now that strike is coming? And if it is coming, where is that higher price headed?
Yeah, I don't think you can just pick any random one. I think there's a major difference in the structure of these various varieties. The Chicago wheat market, you're seeing a totally inverted futures structure. And of course, the higher price is above $6. And the excitement is in that millable soft wheat category. And this is true globally of where the exports are, where the milling industry really needs to find that wheat. So the Chicago wheat market is the one that should continue to have the fundamentals and the expectation from the commercial traders that there is bullishness there, versus the hard wheat varieties haven't had that yet, but of course it could at some point snap back to historical norms.
In this fight for acreage, wheat is going to be caught up in it, at least on the spring contract. Corn, soybeans, cotton, all something that we've been talking about for weeks. As you shift towards the corn market, is that a sympathetic move this week related to soybeans over the last 3 weeks, really? Or is corn have its own maestro directing it higher?
Well, I think corn is moving higher because the dollar is moving lower, et cetera. I mean, I think this is true for all of the grains. But for corn and soybeans moving together, they're not really to the degree that they should. If you look at the nearby contracts for the old crop, that price ratio is far out of line to historical norms. Soybeans are worth about 2.8 times as much as corn in these nearby contracts. In the 2021 contracts, when you start looking at pre-harvest hedging for next year's crop, those are a little more normal, but still favoring soybeans at 2.57 to 1, which is above the normal average. So yes, corn is moving higher with soybeans, but not enough to stay in a normal relationship.
Well, the question has become a little bit, you talk about contract differences, and if you're looking at new crop, are you willing to pull and maybe forward contract some of these acres for 21 yet, or some of this crop?
Yes, I am, Paul, but I'm also the one who told your viewers all summer, you know, to be selling the 2020 crop, which I think, you know, folks didn't like that bearish then. But I think it depends on your marketing strategy. If you're somebody who's willing to sell at these profitable prices, lock in these prices, which are indeed profitable for 2021, and be comfortable with that, even if we do have a continued La Nina, if you're going to be comfortable with those sales, then yes, these are, it's never wrong to sell at a profit. But if you are somebody who would be frustrated by that, there is, of course, like I mentioned, this La Nina threat that could last into the spring and summer and into 2021. We don't know that. But if it did, it would be bullish.
Okay. So if you had to put a percentage on a 21 crop to sell at, say, okay, we're at 447 on this Wednesday. Say we get to 450, maybe 480. What's your percentage of 21 that you'd be selling of that 21 crop?
Yeah, at these prices, these are comfortable prices. You shouldn't feel bad about that. So maybe something seasonally normal where you might have 10% sold before the end of the year.
Okay. All right. Now, soybeans, there's a simple question that we got via Twitter, and it is a simple question. We talk about it's dry in South America, China dipping their toe, dipping their head, whatever, into buying our product. Is there anything more? I mean, oil has had a run. Meal has had a run. A lot of factors working to eat at this soybean crop, right? Or am I missing something?
Yeah, and it is a global story. Talking about exports here, they were actually very disappointing this week for U.S. exports, that sales report. And yet the soybean market went up another 15 cents anyway. So I think you look at the broader trend where we're finally starting to see the shipment pace, the actual inspections at the ports start to meet expectations. So that keeps that moving. It keeps the domestic physical market strong. But the timing of it is you have to worry about Brazil is out of soybeans now, but sometime in the next 6 weeks, before the end of February, let's say, they will again be able to be selling something. Now, you mentioned the weather there is not perfect, and it's definitely not. We've seen scattered showers, but that's really hard to say how that's going to affect yields. You've got folks, private estimators on the ground in Brazil looking at 127 million metric tons. That's their estimate for their 2021 crop versus the USDA's last stab at it in the last WASD was 133 million metric tons. So there's definitely room for the world supply and demand table to tighten up. Whether that goes to China, whether there's more of it really even needs to go to China at this point, I think most of that buying activity is behind us domestically and will continue to move in our rearview mirror, especially once we get into February.
Last week, Arlen Suderman said that beans don't like to stay and hang in that $11 range. We're in 12. We seem to be steaming towards 13. Are we steaming towards 14, 15? Where's this train run out of steam?
I'm not terribly bullish. I think that these prices have reflected the bullishness, the weather that we've seen in the United States last growing season, the lower dollar, the exports buying activity that China displayed in September and October. All of that has been priced in effectively, and I don't know that there's very much more of it to go. I would expect the market to be neutral going forward into February, but you're right, Paul, that this has been the momentum, of course. You look at a chart, and of course the trend says we go up, but I don't know that it might not already be in our past.
Well, we found that seasonality is out the window. You already said it just a couple of minutes ago about disappointing export news, and we still rallied 15 cents. So this leads to a question as we look to 21 that came in via our social media channels, and it's kind of talking about grains and in the livestock. It comes from Tim in Manila, Iowa, and he's asking, considering current price levels of grains and livestock, will Santa leave a nice present for 2021 or just a big lump of coal?
Well, I mean, we have a nice present for 2020. These are very satisfying prices. These are profitable prices for most producers. So you can take it, you can unwrap your present and you can take advantage of it. Strong basis prices, lots of opportunities here for the old crop and opportunities to lock in things for 2021. So the the present is already here. I don't know that in 2021 we should be looking for more presents.
Okay, fair enough. I want to slip in cotton just for the sake of, I talked about acreage battle. Do you see cotton at the prices? I mean, it is off this week, but it's been on an upward trend. Do you see it losing acres in 21?
Very much so, yes. When you look at the profitability that pencils out for corn and soybeans, that is the expectation. And so if I was going to look at any of these crops for a new bullish boost, in addition to the rally they've already had, cotton would be the one I would pick. Not only because of that when you look at the 2021 table, but also the 2020 table, supply and demand table, would perhaps merit some tighter adjustments, some cuts in the production after the drought that was seen in the South and continues in the South. And of course, better export activity has been in cotton as well.
The drought has also impacted the livestock market, cattle, feeders. Is the cattle market impacted more by drought right now, or is this a supply situation, a consumer, how much we're going to buy in the store, not buy in the store, already have in the freezer? What's the biggest pull on cattle prices as we end the year?
Well, there is great demand at the sale barns in the country. And so you see those calf prices at about 140, and then you back that into a live fed cattle market at 110. That's the futures price and also the cash price that's probably trading this week. So you look at these prices, let's say $4 cash corn. If you were going to pick any sort of stasis, stable price level for these markets, you'd want $4 cash corn, $1.10 live cattle, $1.40 feeder cattle. So we are there where pretty much everybody's making a profit. The packers are making quite a big profit. But if where in that are you going to tweak? I would say you'd need slightly higher live cattle prices and have some of that profit from the packers go back to a more normal level as a percentage of what they're getting from the boxed beef prices, which have also been incredibly strong going into this Christmas season.
The feeder market, though, this ridiculously, for them, high price of corn and soybeans, when you're looking at an input cost, how is that impacting some of their decisions? And I mean ridiculous just because if you're thinking about it, that's a big expense I got to deal with.
Yeah, high price of corn and DDGs.
Right.
Now, keep in mind that because of the ethanol market sort of slump that has never fully recovered from the coronavirus dip, you know, we do have higher DDG prices than last year at this time. So, yes, the feed prices are going up, and the profitability is challenged when you go to try and pencil out feeding the calves, but the demand is still there. You go to a sale barn, and folks are really hungry to put more cattle into the feed yards because the feed yards have finally gotten themselves pretty current.
Real quick, is this a pause both in cattle and feeders? Are we headed higher, or where are we at right now going forward?
I think there would be potential for the live cattle to move slightly higher.
Okay.
But like I said, these are good prices, good neutral prices.
All right. Hogs report right after the close today that was, I believe you said lower. Is that right?
Yeah, 1% lower in the total hog inventory. So that suggests that if you look at that sort of June contract or out into the summer where those prices are much higher, that makes sense because the market is looking for the inventory is no longer expanding. It's not that terribly bearish pressure that we had. However, there's subtlety in that the numbers of market hogs that are above 180 pounds, the really heavier ones, that number actually went up. So in the near term, you're seeing the nearby contracts more like $67, and that makes sense too. The whole structure, of course, is sort of seasonal, but it makes sense from a perspective of which hogs are out there in inventory and when.
In the last 10 seconds, is $70 in hogs a thing of the past for the next month?
For the next month, I think so, especially after that Hogs and Pigs report showing those heavier hogs, yes.
All right. Elaine Cobb, appreciate your time. Thank you so very much. Merry Christmas to you.
Merry Christmas to you.
All right. That'll do it for this installment of Market to Market on Merry Christmas, Christmas Day. We will talk more in Market Plus, so you can join us there. You can find that on our website of markettomarket.org. Our Facebook debate this week was on the preferred color of the poinsettia. Which or in what will it be next week? Well, head to Market to Market Show on Facebook to see what we're talking about each day. Next week, we'll talk and look at the stories of 2020 and their impact on rural America. Thank you so very much for watching. Have a great week.